ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 34। काल आत्मा गमो लोकः स्वभावो धर्म एव च इति मां बहुधा प्राहुर् गुण व्यतिकरे सति। काल आत्मा गमो लोकः स्वभावो धर्म एव च इति मां बहुधा प्राहुर् गुण व्यतिकरे सति। काल आत्मा गमो लोकः स्वभावो धर्म एव च इति मां बहुधा प्राहुर् गुण व्यतिकरे सति। काल आत्मा गमो लोकः स्वभावो धर्म एव च इति मां बहुधा प्राहु गुण व्यतिकरे सति। काल आत्मा गमो लोकः भावो धर्म एव च इति मां बहुधा प्राहु गुणावति करे सति। माताजी, कालः टाइम, आत्मा द सेल्फ, आगमः वैदिक नॉलेज, लोकः द यूनिवर्स, स्वभावः डिफरेंट नेचर्स ऑफ डिफरेंट लिविंग एंटिटीज, धर्मः रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स, एव सर्टेनली, च ऑल्सो, इति दस, माम मी, बहुधा इन मेनी वेज, प्राहु दे कॉल, गुण of the modes of nature, vetikare, agitation, sati, when there is. Translation and purports by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: when there is agitation and interaction of the material modes of nature, the living entities then describe me in various ways, such as all-powerful time, the self, Vedic knowledge, the universe, one's own nature, religious ceremonies, and so on. Purport: one can experience the potency of the personality of Godhead by observing how different species of life, demigods, human beings, animals, fish, birds, insects, plants, etc., gradually evolve their natures and activities. Each species of life executes a particular process of sense gratification, and this function is called the dharma of the species. Lacking knowledge of the personality of Godhead, ordinary persons catch a glimpse of the Lord's potencies in the above mentioned manifestations. Srila Madhvacharya has cited the following information from Tantra Bhagavat. The Lord is called Kala or time because He is the mover and controller of all the material qualities. because he is complete and perfect, he is called Atma or the Self. And he is the personification of all knowledge. The word Swabhav indicates that the Lord fully controls his own destiny. And as the maintainer of the everyone, he is called Dharma. One on the liberated platform can achieve unlimited bliss by worshipping the personality of Godhead. Whereas those who are ignorant of the Lord try to find meaning by concocting other objects of worship. If one stubbornly imagines that anything is independent of the Lord, one will remain in the grip of the illusory network of the Lord's potency. Seeing the inevitability of the destruction of material things, one is constantly fearful and perpetually laments in the darkness of ignorance. In such darkness, there is no question of happiness. Therefore, one should never think that anything is independent of the personality of Godhead. As soon as one considers anything to be independent of the Lord, one is immediately gripped by the Lord's illusory network called Maya. One should always remain humble and obedient to the personality of Godhead, even when one is liberated, and thus one will achieve the supreme spiritual happiness. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Sri Guruho Sri Yuta Padkamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristhaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Orangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, I would like to seek my blessings from all and everyone assembled here, especially all senior devotees here whatever I am going to speak, I have learned from them. My Siksha Gurus are sitting here. So I am just going to repeat whatever I have accumulated from them. So it will be like a revision for them. And kindly bear with me whatever little bit realizations or understanding I will be having for the subject matter which I am presenting today. So we are discussing Canto 11th. There is a very interesting verse in Skanda Puran which describes that how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam are non-different. I would read the sloka. Pado yadiyo prathama dvitiyo tritiya turiyo katito yaduru nabhis तथा पंचम एव षष्ठो भुञ्जान्तरं दोर तथा अन्यो कंठस्तु राजन नवमो यदीयो मुखारविंदम दशमः प्रफुल्लम एकादशो यस्य ललाटपट्टम शिरोपितु द्वा दश एव भाति तम आदिदेवम् करुणानिधानं तमालवर्णं सुहितावतारं अपार संसार समुद्र सेतुं भजामहे भगवत स्वरूपं. So this verse tells that how Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Lord Krishna. And Pado Yadiyo Prathama Dvitiyo, the first two cantos are like the lotus feet of the Lord. The third and fourth canto are like the thighs of the Lord. The fifth canto is considered as nabhi, the navel. And the sixth canto is considered as the chest of the Lord. Seventh and eighth canto are like bhuja, the hand of the arms of the Lord. The ninth canto is kanthas turajan nomo yadiyo, the kantha or the neck of the Lord or the throat. And the 10th canto is this beautiful lotus feet, Mukharavindam Dasamah Prafullam. And the present canto which we are discussing, 11th canto, is his forehead. The 12th canto is his head. And here, you know, the sloka says, I bow down to that Lord, the ocean of mercy, Karuna Nidhanam, whose complexion is like a tamal tree, and who appears in the world for welfare of everyone, Suhita Avataram. I worship him as the bridge for crossing the unfathomable ocean of material existence. Apara Samsara Samudra Setam. The Bhagavatam has appeared as his very self. So what we are discussing is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the canto where we are presently is the forehead of the Lord. So now we will little bit see generally what the forehead indicates. Whenever we see anyone, the forehead has a very special significance. Generally, if you see anyone who is wearing whatever kind of tilak, we can immediately understand what philosophy he is presenting. You know, just having some kind of Vaishnava tilak in someone's head, we can think, oh, he is a Vaishnava. Someone is having the, you know, the three lines, we can understand, oh, he is like the follower of, you know, Shankaracharya. So the forehead indicates the philosophy or the understanding of one's life. Similarly, this particular canto, if anyone wants to understand what is the Lord's philosophy, what is the Lord's way of life, or what is what Lord wants to say according to him, then we can come and see 11th canto. Practically everything what one Lord's philosophy is, it can be very nicely understood from 11th canto. There is Uddhav Gita, and practically all the cantos describe all the philosophies which Lord wants to say, Lord's opinion or the final opinion That is 11th canto indicates. There is another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam only which tells what 11th canto indicates. There are 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantara esha anugatha nirodho muktir asrayah 2.10.1. So these are the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam. First sarga, creation. Second visarga, that is sub-creation. Third is sthanam, that is planetary system. Fourth is poshanam, that is protection of the Lord. The fifth, utayah, that is creative impetus. Sixth is manvantara eshuna katha, that is change of manu. The seventh is signs of God. Eighth is nirodha, that is returning back to Godhead. Ninth is liberation. And tenth is asray, that is samam bonam. So, this particular canto indicates the subject matter of mukti, that is liberation. So how, from very first chapter of this particular canto, we can see a wonderful theme continuing, just like a stream, that what all are ingredients for liberation. If anyone wants to liberate from this material world, what all principles he need to very nicely, you know, abide by. If he will miss any of this principle, there is likelihood that he may not be able to liberate oneself from this material world. So we will see one by one. The first chapter, the chapter which indicates that how the Lord's own family, you know, the Yadu family, how the Yadu family got destroyed, and what was the principle behind that. That is the first principle which indicates if anyone who is in the path of liberation, if he is not careful of offenses, doesn't matter who he is, he may be in the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if he is not careful on this principle of taking care of one's etiquette, or he is offensive, then doesn't matter who he is, he will be surely and certainly not going to liberate himself. So that's what the first principle indicates, the principle of offense, the chapter number one. And how powerfully Lord has put this particular principle. Lord didn't choose anyone here and there. Lord chose his own family relatives to indicate that how, if my own family relatives can be checked by this principle of offenses, they will have to get the reaction. They will have to face the consequences. Then what to tell about any one of us? We will just take a simple example. If liberation is the goal, and the car, you know, someone is having a car which wants to go towards the direction of liberation, then the first principle which the driver learns when he is in the learning phase, that put your car in the left direction if you are in India. Never ever go in the right direction. So that's what like offenses are. Doesn't matter whether we are in the learning phase or we are expert drivers. If we will cross this particular principle, then no doubt we will be facing accident. So this is the first principle which Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto indicates from the chapter number 1, that we are, if we will be careless in navigating our car, if we will think that, okay, I know, I am expert, so I can take my car in any direction, then no doubt we will be certainly be victim of some accident. So this is first principle. And throughout Srimad Bhagavatam we see, you know, whether it is Indra, whether it is, so many great personalities who have great tapasya, tapobal, but just because of not taking care of etiquettes, Vaishnava etiquettes, and just casually going through or putting some kind of offenses knowingly or unknowingly, they got severe reaction. And surprisingly, the offenses are, it is not just the person who has done, he will be only getting the reaction. If he is in a leadership role, the community which he is leading, he may also, the entire community can get the reaction. And the example is Indra. when Indra offended Brihaspati, it was not just Indra has to leave the heaven, entire all the demigods and everyone had to leave the entire kingdom. So how this particular principle is so very, very critical in all of our spiritual life, that even if whichever stage of bhakti we are in, even if wherever, you know, we are in the progress chart of Krishna consciousness, we have to be very, very careful of this principle. And that's why every day, you know, we repeat the 10 offenses, you know, in our, whenever we take initiation, at that time also the 10 offenses are, you know, recited. Why? To very, very permanently mark it in our system that this is one thing which we have to follow throughout our lives. Doesn't matter whether we are beginning our car, whether we are in the learning, you know, learning license of driving, or whether we have become experts, you know. So this is the first principle which is very prominently indicated in the first chapter of 11th canto. Moving forward, in the second chapter, one of the most important principle for liberation is explained, and the principle of sadhu sangha. What is that principle? Here, who is Vasudev? Vasudev is the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when Narada Muni comes into picture, he is greatly inquiring and taking the opportunity of sadhu sangha. You know, that here is, I have got a wonderful opportunity to have some time with an exalted personality. Let me ask question. So the second very, very important principle for liberation, or anyone who wants to execute his Krishna consciousness successfully. And that is how we should be very eager to take association of sadhu. Here, Vasudev, this personality who is the father of the Lord, for him, he is like, he is situated in the highest stage of bhakti. But still, he is so very eager to take association of Narada Muni. And not just eager to take association, he is asking such question that I could have asked from the Supreme Lord liberation. But, you know, I asked him as my, you know, son. So how and what I need to do, you know. So this is how such humble role, you know, Vasudev is playing, indicating for all of us that in the journey towards liberation, one of the critical, you know, principle which we need to follow throughout, whether we are in the beginner stage or at the final stage of, you know, perfection, the principle of sadhu sangha. We see Bharat Maharaj. Had Bharat Maharaj been in association of devotees, he would not have the same destination, or he would not have to go through two or three births. So that's how this principle of sadhu sangha is so very prominent. Sadhu sangha, sarva sastra kahe, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoye. That's the potency of sadhu sangha, that even momentarily association of sadhu, you know, person can get the ultimate result in one's life. You know, throughout scriptures, sadhu sangh has been glorified or sung like one of the greatest blessings of the Lord. You know, just continuing our analogy of the vehicle, sadhu sangha is like putting the fuel in the vehicle. You know, we know that, okay, now I have to continue on the left side of, you know, the road without offenses. But how can we move if we don't have any kind of petrol or diesel or, you know, charge in our electric vehicle? So this sadhu sangha gives us the inspiration. This sadhu sangha gives us the fuel. And this sadhu sangha gives us the strength by which we can continue in the journey of our, you know, goal, that is liberation or complete perfection in Krishna consciousness. So sadhu sangha is the main reason why this International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been created, so that everyone can come and associate with sadhus and do the six loving exchanges between the devotees. Because without this, our life will be just continuing with whatever way people are functioning in material world. But when we get connected to sadhus, when we come in touch with sadhus, immediately our consciousness gets synced in the consciousness towards perfecting our life. That's why throughout Bhagavatam, throughout all the Vedas, sadhu sangha has been sung as one of the glorious and most important principle to be followed to get perfection of human form of life. Moving forward, in chapter 3, when Narada Muni starts replying the question, of Vasudev, he replies the question by quoting the conversation between Maharaj Nabhi Nimi, Maharaj Nimi and Nav Yogendra. Again, indicating one of the most important principle, the principle of following Acharya or following Mahajana. Mahajano yena gata sabhanta. Narad Muni is himself a perfect personality. He could have just spoken whatever his understanding is. But still, he is quoting from previous Acharyas, indicating that when we are navigating our car, don't let your car just go on according to your understanding. Follow the other Mahajans. Follow the other persons who have perfected their lives. Mahajano yena gata sabhanta. Here, so beautifully Narad Muni is quoting the example of Maharaj Nimi and Nav Yogendra's discussion. How in our own lives also, many times when we start progressing in bhakti, then we think that, okay, I know the things. But here Narad Muni, he is like one of the param guru in our own parampara. He is quoting, the other discussion. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam we see, whenever any question is asked, the first thing is that particular personality who is answering, he is quoting some other discussion where this kind of question has been asked, to put an authority and to also humble oneself that whatever I am speaking from this great exalted personalities who had discussed the subject matter. So this is also the third principle, which is very important in our own spiritual life, whether it is my opinion or whether this opinion which I have got is coming from some authority, some authoritative source. So the third principle, if we want to have liberation, there are so many people, there are so many paramparas, there are so many wonderful philosophies, but what differentiates a proper and authorized parampara is this particular principle, that whatever is being followed, whether it is coming from authorized source or not. Otherwise, any person can think that, okay, this is the path of liberation, this is the way I can perfect my life. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is clearing in very onset, that when Sukadeva Goswami, when Sut Goswami was asked to tell about Srimad Bhagavatam, he quoted the discussion earlier between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. So this is the third very important principle for all of us to follow and all of us to understand, that how in our own spiritual life to follow the authorities, Mahajana, is very, very important. Now, in the next chapter, 4th, 5th and 6th, Maharaj Nimi is hearing from Nav Yogendra. And here, if we see practically everything, whatever we want to understand about pure devotional service, whatever we want to understand as the requirement for perfecting one's life, everything is there in great detail. Whether it is, how much important is the human form of life, whether it is, how much important is pure devotional service, or whether it is who is a Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama Adhikari, or whether it is, what is the position of the Lord, what is the position of external energy, what is the position of a living entity, everything is perfectly cleared there. Not just that, even, this is the Yug, Kali Yuga, what should be the process, what is the right process to be followed, how Lord comes in different yugas, in different colors, and what are the processes which Lord enunciates. So again, a very important principle which is being explained here, that following right authority is important, but at the same time also to understand what is the right process at this particular time, according to time, place and situation, what is the right process. And that's what is very, very important and very clearly explained here in 11th canto. So this is the fourth principle which we are discussing here, that along with right authority, knowing what is the right process. And that is what Maharaj Nimi is getting from Nav Yogendra very, very clearly. So in our analogy of vehicle, it is not just to know, I have to go towards perfecting our life. It is not just, I am following right authority, but also to know how much the speed which I should keep, you know, what is according to right now current times, okay, this is rainy season, so in rainy season I should not exceed, you know, the speed beyond 40 or 50. So according to time, place and situation, what is the process which need to be followed? Now, process of meditation is perfect, and that is also coming in parampara, that is also coming through sastra, and authorities are there who are speaking about meditation. Similarly, you know, the process of yajna, process of temple worship, everything is perfect, coming from authority. But what process need to be followed at this particular time in Kali Yuga? And that is what being explained very clearly, you know, by Karbhajan Muni, that, you know, yajna sankirtana praya yajanti hi sumedasa. Those who will be intelligent people, they will be worshipping the Lord through the process of sankirtan. So how is the fourth principle of following the right process, knowing the complete understanding of what are the fundamentals of devotional service, that is explained in this particular chapter, 4th, 5th and 6th. Coming forward, in the 6th chapter, you know, when Lord is about to depart, there Uddhava approaches the Lord and asks the Lord, please instruct us, you know, please give us the knowledge. Again, very important principle is being sown by Uddhava here. Who is Uddhava? Uddhava is one who was like consultant to the Lord. Many times Lord used to consult Uddhava, that please advise me what I should do here. You know, and Uddhava used to, you know, direct, or Uddhava used to suggest, okay, you should do like this, you should do like that. You know. But here, at this particular moment when Lord is going to depart, Uddhava asked the Lord, please give me the knowledge, you know, what is which will be required for perfecting one's life. And then onwards, you know, entire Uddhava Gita begins. So again, a very important principle which has been explained here by the characteristic of Uddhava is how we should be eager to utilize the opportunity which we have received, you know. We don't know when the next chance will come. This human form of life is already like a second chance. In the sense, we have already come to know about devotional service. We have already come in association of devotees. We have already come to know the philosophy properly. So it's already the second chance. Let's utilize it. Let's not waste this opportunity. Just like Ajamila, when he comes to know, you know, that I just got second chance. He utilized the second chance like anything. He just immediately went to Haridwar and utilized each and every single moment. Similarly, for us to know that this is like second chance, this is a wonderful opportunity I have received, let me utilize it my level best. Let me not waste this opportunity. That's what Uddhava utilized. Now Lord is going to depart, let me utilize this opportunity. Many times when we come in Krishna consciousness, we are in very much enthusiasm. But after some time, the enthusiasm goes little down. I have seen in my personal life. So we need to remind ourselves that this is the second chance. We don't know again when this opportunity will come. Such a wonderful association of devotee, such wonderful philosophy, such wonderful, you know, sangha, you know, such wonderful, practically all the facility provided to perform Krishna consciousness. When again we will get this opportunity, let me utilize this opportunity from, you know, my sincere best. So that's what principle is explained here by, you know, Uddhava through his own example. Then, you know, Lord gives example of 24 gurus of Avadhuta. You know, so again, this is a very important principle which Lord indicates here, and this is how when we are navigating our car, you know, whatever we have heard from scriptures, whatever we have heard, the shabda, in the journey, let the shabda is experienced, let the shabda is experienced through pratyaksha. This 24 gurus are nothing but different principles which are in shabda praman, you know, but this avadhut brahmana, he experienced this principle in 24 gurus. So in our own lives also, when we are navigating this Krishna consciousness journey, we have already heard the principles of Krishna consciousness. And when we are moving forward, we will see so many people who are having such wonderful qualities or something which are explained in Shastra. And that principle we can experience from that particular person or that particular incident or that particular whichever course of journey we are in or wherever we are in the journey. So again, the very important principle of whatever we have heard need to be experienced in our journey. And that's why what we are hearing is very important. Had this Avadhut Brahmana would not have the Krishna conscious understanding, he could have taken some other lessons. If this kind of incidence happens for a materialist, he will take some another lesson only from the honey bee. He can take lessons, okay, take the honey with home, with you, ourselves with the home only. So what we are hearing is very, very critical, because accordingly, the lessons we take or accordingly the experience what we are getting, we can apply in our lives. So here, this particular incidence or this entire chapter of Avadhut Brahmana, learning from 24 gurus, indicates that how whatever we have heard in the scriptures need to be experienced in our journey of Krishna consciousness. So this is the fifth lesson. Now coming to this particular chapter, the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter, after explaining all these principles by the Lord now refutes Karma Mimamsa philosophy. This particular chapter is basically, very, very clearly refuting Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Now, why Karma Mimamsa philosophy need to be refuted? The reason is Karma Mimamsa philosophy gives us a very nice way. Okay, you follow dharma nicely and you can get all and everything of your life very nicely fulfilled. And when someone is getting very nicely all his desires fulfilled, everything in his journey very peaceful, where is the question of getting the impetus for liberation? He will think, let me stay here only comfortably. By my own duties, by my worship to devatas, by my worship performance of yajna, I can get whatever I want. So why a person should think of liberation? And that's why Lord here very powerfully, vanquishes the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Because this particular canto is indicating liberation. Liberation is the thin line. In order for liberation from this material world, person need to understand that Karma Mimamsa philosophy, if we will follow, then we will perpetually remain in this material world. Because whatever we want, just follow this particular Karma Kanda philosophy or this, do this puja and then you will get that thing. And then where will be the question for going back to God or liberating oneself? So that's why Lord very, very powerfully, completely vanquishes this Karma Mimamsa philosophy. And we are right now in the verse which is like the last verse where Lord is clearing the Karma Mimamsa philosophy or clearing. So in this verse, in this particular verse, where very nicely how the Maya creates an illusion in front of the living entity, and due to that illusion, the living entity considers Kala to be the supreme or time to be the supreme or the soul to be the supreme or Vedas to be the supreme or Swabhava to be the supreme or Dharma to be the supreme. And that is what is the main translation of this particular verse. When there is agitation and interaction of the material modes of nature, the living entity then describes me in various ways, such as all-powerful time, the self, Vedic knowledge, the universe, one's own nature, religious ceremonies, and so on. So here the living entity getting affected by modes of nature, he starts to equate these things, or he starts to consider this thing as good as God. See the purport also? Lacking the knowledge of personality of Godhead, ordinary persons catch a glimpse of Lord's potencies in above mentioned manifestation. So not just they catch the glimpse, they equate also. For example, people equate Atma to be the God, and that is what Mayavadis do because of the presence of because of being affected by material modes of nature. Similarly, in Karma Mimamsa philosophy, they equate Dharma to be the supreme. As Vedanta Sutra says, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Similarly, Karma Mimamsa philosophy says, Athato Dharma Jigyasa. What it indicates? Let's inquire Dharma. Why? Because if we will have Dharma, we can get anything. And when someone puts Dharma to be the supreme, and then what happens? They bring Lord also in the frame of reference of Dharma. And then they start questioning whether Lord's this particular act was moral or not, whether Lord's this particular activity should be sanctioned or not, whether he's the supreme Lord or not. All this comes in quote-unquote periphery of quoting Dharma. Why? Because they have understood Dharma not something which is coming from the Lord, but something which is above the Lord, or which is the supreme, not the supreme personality of Godhead, but the Dharma. That's what is the effect of material modes of nature. So here we see anyone who puts Dharma as the supreme, who consider Dharma to be not as like one of the manifestation of the Lord, but to be the supreme, he can create so much chaos in the society. Today there are so many philosophers, they quote dharmic religious texts and degrade the Lord, bring the Lord on the level of human beings, question whether he is the Lord or not. So that's what about Dharma when they consider as supreme. Similarly, here another thing is Swabhava. Many people can claim that Swabhava is supreme. Whatever one Swabhava is there, that's what the person will do. But then Swabhava is limited to the body. That is not the characteristic of the soul. And when we very much give some kind of the supremacy on Swabhava, then the effect of pure devotional service, that what pure devotional service can do, it has the, there are so many examples where by the effect of pure devotional service, many people changed their way of doing. For example, we see when Srila Prabhupada, before he went to United States, many people's way of functioning in the life was different. But as a pure devotee intervenes in someone's life, there was so much change in the Swabhava. So not just that, Swabhava is not the supreme, because Swabhava just continues till the material body is there. Once the material body is gone, the Swabhava is gone. So where is Swabhava that can be considered as supreme? Swabhava cannot be considered supreme. It is as long as the material body is there. Similarly, Kala. Kala can also cannot be considered as supreme. Why? Because Kala is, as long as we are in material world, Kala is present. In present, past and future. But in a spiritual world, Kala is present in its just present tense. There is no past and no future. And Kala is one of the manifestation of the Lord. It is not the Lord incomplete. Lord's complete form is having so many pastimes. Lord's complete form has so many reciprocation with the devotees. But Kala is mostly having its influence to the material world. So Kala is also not the supreme. Kala is one of the manifestation of the Lord, but it's not the supreme manifestation of the Lord. So we saw Kala, we saw Atma, we saw one's nature, and then religious ceremonies. So Lord says that how Vedvad Rataha, many times living entities gets very much affected by whatever is written in the scriptures, and many times they consider that whatever the flowers are being sown in the Vedas, they get attracted to that, and in this they miss the entire what the Vedas are trying to teach. So Vedvad Ratah, Lord Krishna is saying. So many times when people just follow the Vedas, just they are following the Vedas, they may become very nice reciter of the Vedas. They may become, you know, wonderful people who can quote scriptures in different places. But when it comes to take shelter of the essence of scriptures, they will miss it. Why? Because we can take shelter of the Lord, we can take the essence, the shelter of the essence of Vedas only when we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we come in association of devotees and we take to the devotional service. And that's why many people who have not taken devotional service, they also quote scriptures. But where they are pointing to? They are pointing to completely different understanding, which is not the absolute understanding. So that's why those who are just following Vedas or considering Vedas to be the supreme, they are also misled by the power of modes. So all this what I discussed was, you know, His Grace Chaitanya Charanpu quotes, you know, in his explanation on this particular verse, that how the power of modes are so very, you know, deluding, that it can delude even very intellectual people, and they can consider, you know, time to be the supreme, or Atma to be the supreme, or Dharma to be the supreme, or Vedas to be the supreme. But in reality, the Supreme Personality of God is Shri Krishna in His original form as Gopinath is the supreme. And anyone who performs Krishna consciousness and tries to follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas, he will certainly be able to understand Krishna, and not just understand Krishna, he will be able to perfect one's life also. Today also happens to be a very, very auspicious day, the auspicious day of disappearance day of Shyamanand Pandit. I have not much time, I will just say a few words in glorification of Shyamanand Prabhu. So Shyamanand Prabhu, born in Utkal, in Dharendra Bahadurpur. His father's name was Sri Krishna Mandal and mother Durika. When he took birth, before taking birth, many of the sons of Sri Krishna Mandal, they died in their childhood time only, in the birth time only. So that's why the name which was put to this wonderful exalted personality was Dukhi. So that understanding that he is very Dukhi, Kala or the Yamraj may leave him. So his name was Dukhi. And from very beginning, from very childhood days, he was showing wonderful scholarship. Very quickly he was able to learn the scriptures. Very quickly he was able to, grasp everything and repeat it. And seeing his inclination towards spirituality, his father asked that now you should take Mantra Diksha. And then he told, I will take Mantra Diksha from Hriday Chaitanya, one of very celebrated Vaishnava in Vaishnava line, who was in Katwa. So when he hears, his father hears that he wants to take initiation from Hriday Chaitanya, he tells, oh, no, it is quite far, how you will be able to go there? So he told, no, I will manage, when devotees will go there, I will go along with them. And in this way he goes and takes initiation from Hriday Chaitanya. And Hriday Chaitanya, seeing his scholarship, he tells, okay, you go to Jiv Goswami and learn Vedic scriptures. And Jiv Goswami at that time, was explaining the Vedic scriptures, and there were very prominent disciples like Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamanand Prabhu also joined the class with them and continued with this wonderful exalted Vaishnavas. And one day a very wonderful pastime happens. As he was rendering service, he found one anklet, while doing the service. And seeing that anklet, he was very much surprised. Such a dazzling anklet. And then one girl comes, the scriptures and Vaishnava says, Visakha Devi comes to ask the anklet. And then Shyamanand Prabhu says that I can give this anklet only, to the person which it belongs. And then, Visakha Devi takes him to Srimati Radharani. It was of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani touches that anklet on the head of Hriday Chaitanya, on the head of Shamanand Pandit. And in this way, one wonderful tilak appears, the tilak which, you know, was generally, you can see all those Shamanandis, those who are having, they will have that particular tilak. So when he returns back, you know, Jiva Goswami, when he sees, he is astonished and he asks the entire incidents. And you know, Shamanand Pandit says the entire incidents, and Jiva Goswami is very, very happy. But somehow the news also reaches to Hriday Chaitanya, and he comes to know that my disciple has changed his sampradaya. So he becomes very angry, and he comes from that Bengal to Vrindavan to rescue his disciple from which parampara he has entered into. And he tries to wipe out the tilak, but again the tilak manifests. And then in the dream, you know, Gaurang Mahaprabhu appears and tells that, you know, this is blessings of Srimati Radharani. He is a very wonderful devotee. And you know, later also we see Shyamanand Prabhu's amazing contribution in preaching in Odisha. And today there are so many wonderful Vaishnavas in Odisha who sing wonderful special kirtan, and the way Shyamanand Prabhu has given Vaishnavism to them. So we are very fortunate to have such exalted Vaishnavas who not just only followed the principle, but by their mere, you know, presence, they inspire all of us, you know, to follow in their footsteps. So we pray to Sri Shyamanand Prabhu so that we can also get one drop of his blessings, so that we can also become a servant of the servant in this wonderful parampara. So I will repeat today's discussion. We have started the first principle, that how Srimad Bhagavatam is like the forehead of the Lord. And since the forehead, the tilak indicates, you know, the philosophy of the person. Similarly, this canto indicates the philosophy of the Lord. What Lord wants to say, what is the Lord's opinion about everything. So that's what 11th canto indicates. So the first principle which we discussed was the principle of how we should be very careful of, you know, continuing our journey in right etiquette, how we should be very careful from offenses. This is the first principle which we discussed from chapter number 1. The second principle which we discussed was importance of Sadhu Sangha, or association of a devotee. How even Vasudev is so eager to take association, how he is so eager to ask each and every question to Narad Muni. So second principle of Sadhu Sangha, we should be very, very eager to get. The third principle which is coming in the third chapter, and that is Narad Muni quotes from the discussion between Maharaj Nimi and Yogendra, indicating that how whatever we discuss or whatever we say, it must be coming from authority, that is following authority. Mahajano yena gata sapantha, the point number 3, principle number 3. Principle number 4th which we discussed is not just following the authority important, but also knowing the right process according to time, place and situation. And that comes in the discussion between, you know, Maharaj Nimi and now Yogendra, where Karbhajan Muni tells about the process in this particular age. And the next principle which we discussed was the principle of how we should be so eager to utilize the opportunity given, as indicated by Uddhava. He is utilizing the opportunity when Lord is about to depart. He is asking right kind of question to get whatever maximum can be, you know, possible at that particular moment. So indicating we have got a wonderful chance here, let's utilize the max. And then the next principle which we discussed is how Lord tells that how whatever we have learned in the scriptures or whatever we have learned from devotees, we need to experience that in association of devotee or in our due journey which we are continuing in this material world. Let the shabda becomes our experience in the material world. That's what we learned from the lesson of 24 gurus. And then next lesson which we discussed was how Lord is refuting, you know, this principle of Karma Mimamsa. Because in Karma Mimamsa, what happens? We consider Dharma to be the supreme. And when we consider Dharma to be the supreme, then we will bring Lord also in the jurisdiction of Dharma. Whereas Dharma is coming from the Lord. You know, everything is coming from the Lord. So we should not mistake that, you know, Dharma to be the superior thing than the Supreme Lord. And we discussed also, you know, the pastime of Shyamanand Prabhu. At last, one point which we will discuss and we will close our discussion is, in the purport, there is one point of being dependent, you know. The one reason why living entity came in this material world is thinking oneself to be independent of the Lord, you know. The moment a person thinks, I am independent of the Lord, you know, that's the moment he becomes qualified to be in the material world. The moment the person again rethinks, or again he comes to know that actually I am dependent on the Lord's mercy, I am dependent on his, you know, practically all his, you know, kindness, that moment his journey towards a spiritual life, his journey for liberation gets finalized. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Kindly forgive me for my shortcomings and, you know, going beyond my realizations. Hare Krishna.